fifth truth is the truth of experience. Take time to remember the past so that you will be able to draw from your experiences. This will allow you to reinvest all the years that you have, all the experiences you have, all the knowledge that you have into your next year. Now, the 26th truth is the truth of fascination. Fascination is one of the steps beyond interest. Interesting people want to see it work. Fascinated people want to know how it works. You know what's interesting? You've got to keep a childlike attitude. When you see something that you don't know how it works, in your heart you want to say, hey, tell me how that works. I'm kind of interested. But then you say, oh, I should be old enough. I should know everything about everything. Hello? Nobody knows everything about everything. The more you keep that fascination in your mind, the more your mind will stay alive. The 27th truth is the truth of fear. Whoa. Do we have fear in our lives? You're darn right we do. There's only one way to cover it. There's no way around it. And that is this. Do what you fear most, and then you control fear. Folks, either you control it, or it controls you. Either the lights are on, or they're off. The sun is up, the sun is down. How tough is this? Not too tough. The most important thing is, from a scale to 1 to 10, where do you fall in this category? What fears are holding you back? What things are controlling your life because you're not willing to confront them? The 28th truth is the truth of sharing. Giving is better than receiving. Why? Why? Because giving starts the receiving process. The 29th truth is the truth of goals. Now, I'm sure all of you heard many programs about goal settings. And more important, how to set goals. More important, how to lay out your goals. More important, how to put your goals together. What I'm going to talk about is, why do you write goals down? It's not too tough. We all have goals, you know, if you set them or not. If you set them, they are your standards in which you have set for yourself. If you haven't set them, by you choosing not to, this allows somebody else to set them for you. And you know what? I'll bet you this. They will not set your goals as high as you would have. So the reason why you must write down goals is so that the goals will be yours and not somebody else's. The 30th truth is the truth of wealth. The poor spend their money and invest what's left. The rich invest their money and spend what's left. You'll find that right out of the book, Richest Man in Babylon. If wealth is important to you, I've talked about it before, you need to go get the book. Wealth is the most important issue. It starts from the greatest book and the only book. That if you're given 10 and you bury them and you only end up with 10, then you've done nothing. Wealth is what? Taking something and making it better. The 31st truth is the truth of happiness. Happiness is not an accident, nor is it something you wish for. Happiness is something you design in your life. It's a choice. You can choose to be happy, you can choose to be unhappy. You can choose to have fun, or you can choose not to have fun. It is your choice. Stop blaming other people. Happiness is not something you postpone, by the way, folks. You know what? I run across it all the time. You know what? When I get this company built, I'm going to be happy. When I get married, I'm going to be happy. When I have children, I'm going to be happy. When I get moved in, I'm going to be happy. When I get over there, I'm going to be happy. Stop the when I get, I'm going to be happy. Because guess what? Until you're happy where you are, you're not going to be happy when you get there anyway. It starts today. The 32nd truth is the truth of health. Make sure the outside of you is a good reflection of the inside. And you know what? The 33rd truth is the truth of ignorance. Whoa. Best way for me to put it. Doesn't take long. You ready? What you don't know will hurt you. What I'm asking you to do is realize how important it is. The 34th truth is the truth of association. All I know is this. When we were growing up, when I was a kid, my parents always said what? Be careful who you hang around. Because why? You'll become like them. And then we grow up. And we say, well, we're big kids now. We don't have to worry about it. Well, the point of it is, you're big kids. I guarantee you one thing. People listening to this program right now, there's toys representing this audience that would be awesome. So we don't grow up. Our toys get much more expensive. So the fact of it is what? You still can be influenced by the people that you're around. You must consistently ask yourself these questions. Number one is, who am I around? Qualified. Who am I around? Number two is, what are they doing to me? Number three is, what have they got me reading? Where am I going? What am I talking about? It's amazing. When you talk to people and you get in these groups, they go, well, have you read this book? Have you read this book? Have you read this? And then you go into other groups and they go, well, I didn't even know the bookstore was around the corner. Hello! That's the most important issue to understand. The next is, what have they got me saying? The next one, where do they have me going? The next one, what do they have me thinking? Folks, you are a product of your thoughts. The seventh, what do they have me becoming? Hold yourself accountable to it. Then ask yourself, is this okay? Now we're going to talk about the 35th truth. What is that? The truth of leadership. The challenge of a leadership is to be strong, but not rude. To be kind, but not weak. To be bold, but not bully. To be thoughtful, but not lazy. Be humble, but not timid. Be proud, but not arrogant. Keep humor as a key. During my live seminars, I always ask everybody to stand up. I don't care if there's 100 people. I don't care if there's 2,000 people. I don't care if there's 10,000 people. I have everybody stand up, and I say, what I want you to do is I want you to find three other people, so we're getting the groups of four, that you do not know. I want you to introduce yourself to them, and I want you to tell each person in the group something about you that you love most about life. And I have them stand up and do it. And then I have everyone in the audience raise their right arm. And then I have them point their right index finger to the sky. And then I say, you take that finger that you have pointed up to the sky, and you now point at the leader in your group. And you know what happens every time? They all point to themselves. What I hope to help you understand today is I believe the reason why people don't take leadership is they don't want to be held accountable to their choices. Well, I'm asking each and every human being that listens to this tape, you are all leaders, you know you are. And every day, you're leading in the right way or you're leading in the wrong way. You're helping people grow or you're tearing them down. What I'm asking is the more we all take responsibility of that, I think the better this country will be. And I'm very proud to be a part of a wonderful country called America. The 36th truth is the truth of lifestyle. You must design your own lifestyle. People are not going to do it for you. They're not going to design a great dinner. They're not going to design a great vacation. They're not going to design your home. They're not going to design anything. You must design your own lifestyle. Stop risking it. Great lifestyles happen because a person planned it that way. If you don't know what you want, then don't be surprised when you don't get it. Make sense? Let's go on to the next one. The 37th truth, which is the truth of neglect. One of the reasons why many people don't have what they want is neglect. Neglect starts out as an infection and then becomes a disease. If you have a disease, what do? You cut it out. What I'm asking you to do is don't mess around with neglect. If it's a part of your life, get hard on it. Get it out and get rid of it and get moving forward. The 38th truth is the truth of parenting. There is no greater leadership challenge than parenting. What I'm asking you to do is all of you in this audience, all of you listening to this tape, those of you that will be a parent someday, realize the number one responsibility we have in America is being a parent that your children will be proud of. to bringing up children that you would be proud that anybody could talk to. Because I know you might not like what I'm about ready to say, but it is true. You introduce me to a person's children, and then I will tell you how a person really lives their life. The 39th truth is the truth of personal development. Your level of success and income seldom exceeds personal development. Over a period of time, we have all been over-promoted at a time. It is when you've been over-promoted that you've got to raise your knowledge, raise your personal development, raise everything up so that you can accomplish the task. But here's the fact. If you're over-promoted and you don't raise that level, then over a period of time it'll catch up to you and you'll find your way moving back where you belong. Because the truth is the truth. You seldom have success and income exceed the person's personal development. Realize, I've said it once, I've said it 100 times, I might say it 1,000 times, I don't know. But here's the key. The more you grow, the more everything else grows around you. The 40th truth is a very powerful one. It's called the truth of the halo effect. What's the halo effect? The halo effect is this. Each and every one of us has a halo. It's how people see you. Do you realize something? You can have a reputation that is of one way and one way that everybody sees you. And within that lifetime, you do something, say something, make a mistake. Guess what? Your halo has changed. All the years they've known you, all that you've done, everything that you've created, all the people that you've helped, they don't see you the same way. Why I point this out is I've learned in my life that it doesn't matter how hard you work, how much you care, how hard you try to help other people, the number one key element you must always go back to is the choice that you're making going to build your halo or is it going to destroy it? Meaning, if a company in the marketplace has 1,000 products in the marketplace and everybody says this company is the greatest company you've ever seen in your whole life and all of a sudden somebody finds out that one product has some real problems, then guess what? Now the way everybody sees that company is totally different. So my question to you is this. Why today, and I cover this in the leadership program, 70% of the employees are lying to their management. Do you know why? The survey goes on and says, because management lies to the employees. What I'm asking you to do is realize, when does a lie not count? Never. So those of us that are parents, if you tell your kid to tell somebody on the phone that you're not home when you're home, then don't be surprised when they grow up and lie. What I'm asking you to do is realize everything counts. So when it's the halo effect, remember, you've got to be your best at all times, and you've got to make sure that what you do and the choices you make are in line to the way that people see you, and most importantly, how you want to have people know you. The 41st truth is the truth of results. Results is the name of the game. I started a company called Results over 14 years ago. I named the company that for one reason. I own that name in the United States and Canada because I believe it's the name of the game. Meaning, you show me a person's results, and I can usually tell you what the person has done that day. So don't judge yourself on your activity. Look at your results. The 42nd truth is the truth of sophistication. Most people are just trying to get through the day. Sophisticated people are trying to get from the day. The 43rd truth is the truth of vocabulary. How well are you doing on your vocabulary? Vocabulary enables us to interpret and express. If you have a limited vocabulary, you will also have a limited vision and a limited future. What words have you put in that bank account of yours that you didn't have last week? Let's move now to the 44th. It's called The Truth of Fighting. The best way for me to cover this is by saying, one of the most difficult things everyone has to learn is that your entire life must keep fighting and adjusting. If you hope to survive, no matter who you are or what your position, you must keep fighting for whatever it is you desire to achieve. If someone is not aware of his or her contest and expects otherwise, then constant disappointment occurs. People who fail sometimes do not realize that the simple answer to every day's achievement is to keep fighting. Health, happiness, and success depend upon the fighting spirit of each person. The big thing is not what happens to you in life, but what you do about it. And the last of the truths of this program is the 45th truth, and that is the truth of desire. Success is not a result of luck or random chance. Success is never just happens to a fortunate few. Instead, achievers make their own luck. Accomplishing the lasting success are made possible by powerful motivation. High performers have a desire. Desire is the key that drives them to greatness, that causes them to dedicate and reaching the top rungs of a ladder of success. Desire propels achievers towards the top and keeps them there. Achievers are individuals who become all that God intends them to be. God gives us all talents and abilities to use, not abuse. He has not given you dreams to dream in vain. He has placed those dreams in your heart for the purpose, regardless of whether your dreams are of success in business, athletics, arts, government, medicine, whatever it is. But it's that burning desire and your dreams and your disciplines and your actions that puts all of the 45 truths in action. I want you to write them down. I want you to go to 1 to 10, and I want you to see where you are strong and where you're weak. Make the changes, and then share this information with other people. And we will continue to grow. And don't forget those three most important words. And what are they again? Life is good. Now I get an opportunity to talk about a program that I think without question is absolutely priceless, and that is using time management to balance your life. The gift of time. Effective time organization provides no additional time. I'm going to repeat that. Effective time organization provides no additional time, but it produces multiple benefits by helping you become aware of the time you are now wasting so that you may use it more effectively. When you gain increased control of your own time use habits, you may begin to accomplish in one day the amount of work that used to take you a day and a half, 2 days, 3 days. Benjamin Franklin said, time is money. Your time capital consists of 24 hours you have every day. You can spend it or you can invest it. It just as you do money. But you cannot hoard it for later use. You can't tuck it away and say, I'll get to it tomorrow. You can't put it into a bank account and say, I'll withdraw it later. No. Use productivity. Time literally becomes money. If you can every day identify and use 30 minutes that you now waste, you will add an equivalent of 22 8-hour days to your productive time every year. Who controls your time? Of course, you'd like to say, I control my own time. Too often, however, your time is in a very real sense manipulated by others. Your boss, the people you work, your family, all sorts of people who ask for your portion of your time. While the requests and demands of others play a large role of determining how your time is spent, it is literally true that you can control your own time. You either control it by making it or making a conscious decision about what you will do, or by failing to make such a decision. You unwittingly hand over the control of your time and your life to someone else. Don't do that. When you fail to accept responsibility for controlling your own time, guess what? There is always someone else around who's willing to take it over for you. Say, hey, I found somebody. You did. What'd you want? I found somebody that doesn't want to do it themselves. Well, awesome. We get to do it for them. Put them in our little bank, and we'll just have them do what we need them to do within the time frame that we want them to do it. The thing that I want you to understand is that if you choose not to manage it, you've given that right to somebody else. So do yourself a huge favor. You decide how you want to manage your time so that you can manage it to be in balance. You can manage it so you can be at home. I said it once. I said it again. I'm going to say it again before this is over. It's quality of time at work. Get in. Get your job done. Stay focused. It's quantity of time at home. The thing to realize is if you are in control, you then are controlling your time based on your own values, your own principles, and what is most important to you. My question to you is the worth of time. Time is a primary resource available to you for achieving whatever you want in life. How many hours in a day does a poor person that's very unhappy and very much out of balance have? 24 hours. How many days does a very wealthy person that's very well in balance, very happy, and having a blast in life? 24. Hello? There's a common denominator there. We all are given the same amount of time. Your talents and your abilities are useless if you have no time to employ them. I'm going to say that again. Your talents and abilities are useless if you have no time to employ them. The knowledge and the skills you acquire in school and through personal study do nothing for you until you invest your time in putting them to work. Do you know how many great things in life, how many things would have happened in life that if a person would have had one more year, would have had two more years with all that they had, what they could have done, where they could have been, the person that they could have become, the people they could have changed, the world where it would be today? No. The fact of it is, their knowledge and their time came to a point where what they had already experienced, what they had already shared, what they had already done, had come to an end. It didn't make a difference how much more they had left. Time had come to an end. What I'm asking you to realize at this point is realize every day we all have a choice, and that is the choice to have time work for you or you work for it. Another important factor that is very key in the area of strong control over your time is the conditioning that has gone into making you who you are today. In the process of growing up, you encounter many attitudes and injunctions regarding the use of time. Some of these were repeated frequently by people you love and respect. These attitudes and injunctions about time together with your reactions to them and decisions about them form the basis for the habits and your attitudes that you now hold in the area of time. It is a common tendency to submit and adapt to the attitudes and injunctions of others in order to be accepted or approved. But by the time you discover that such adaptation actually has nothing to do with the love or the acceptance of others, it's the habit is already formed, and it is difficult to change, but it isn't impossible. Realizing where you are today and where you'll be tomorrow is nothing more than the choices you make, the people you're around, and how well you manage your time and all of these ingredients. I realize that there are time management courses out there that are absolutely fabulous. It'll take a day, 2 days, 3 days, weeks, etc. But you know what I see in corporate America? I see in corporate America that people go to these classes. They take all these beautiful time planners, and they take all their old habits, stuff them in there, zip it closed, and walk away. It looks good from the outside, but nothing really changed from the inside. What I'd like to talk about here is the basic fundamentals of time management. There are only basic things that you need to cover. If you will master these basics, time will go back to work for you instead of you working for it. We've all heard the four quadrants. I'm going to go over those very quickly. If you haven't heard them before, they're absolutely a necessity. The first quadrant is what? The one that is urgent and important. Those are things that literally have a sense of urgency. Now, how do you define urgency? Urgency is very simple. Are things that have the appearance, underline appearance. They are things that have the appearance, underline appearance. The appearance of demanding our immediate time and attention. Important. Let me define important. That's very simple. Important has to do with results. That's the name of my company. That's why I own that name. It's for one reason. Results is the name of the game. Meaning, important is, does this have something to do with your purpose in life? Does this something have to do with your values in life? Does this have something to do with your goals in life? Does this have everything to do with who you want to become in life? That is important. Urgent is something that demands your attention. Quadrant number one is urgent to important. Quadrant number two is what? Not urgent, but important. Quadrant number three is urgent, but not important. Oh, we've had a few of those out there, don't we? And then quadrant number four, I like that one. It's not urgent and not important. You know what I'm talking about. Most people live in which quadrant? Number one. Why? They go to work. First thing they do, I call them firemen. They go to work, and what do? They walk in the door, they start on some of the projects, and the fire happens. They go, put it out. And another fire happens. They put it out. And another fire happens. They put it out. And they're constantly being what? Reactive. And you know what's interesting? At the end of the day, because that's where they spend all their time, they're tapped. They don't have any energy. Their brain is literally numb. The only thing they want to do is they want to jump from quadrant one to quadrant four. What's quadrant four again? Not urgent, not important. I qualify that as a no-brainer. You want to go someplace and do nothing. I mean, vegetate. I mean, you're there, but lights are not on. The point of it is this. Quadrant four is priceless. Quadrant four is very healthy. Quadrant four we should all go to. But quadrant four you should not go to because you have to. That's my point. The one quadrant that you want to manage your day in is quadrant two, which is important but not urgent, meaning you're proactive. You know that the projects are coming, so you're disciplined enough to get them done before it gets to becoming a problem. Oh, come on. How many of you have ever had this happen? Students, we have exam coming up in 30 days from today. Now you tell me, how many of you started studying for the exam the very next day? If you raise your hand, I'm impressed. How many of you started studying on the exam on what day? The 29th? Mean you waited till the last night? You stayed up all night? You drank coffee? You crammed? To do what? To study? To have a test on the 30th? And they warned you 30 days before? Oh, you done that? Hard to believe. Hey, come on, folks. That's what I'm talking about. You know what's coming. It doesn't mean that because the teacher says, blame God and exam in 30 days, it doesn't mean you go out and do it the next day. But you might start 15 days out. You might start 10 days out. You might even start 2 days out. Now, 2 days would have been a heck of a lot better than the night before. That's what I'm talking about. You start working on the things you know have to be done before they have to be done, and you don't allow them to go from not urgent and important to urgent and important. The only reason most of it gets in urgent and important is because you waited to the last minute and it came into there. Quadrant number three is what we call urgent but not important. There's only three things to do with this. It's S-E-D. You simplify it. Figure out some way to simplify it. You eliminate it. That's E. And D, what do? Come on. You delegate it. You don't do it. That's the key. What I'm asking you to do is look at these four quadrants and be honest with yourself. Where do you spend most of your time? And literally begin the process of reorganizing that part of your life and you'll stay in control. There are basic steps to creating what we call greatness in time management. You know what they are? It's this simple. When I do a live seminar, I have fun. There's this game that I play. And through this game, literally, I can show somebody how they can increase 200, 300, 400, 500% efficiency in less than 3, 4, 5 minutes. No exaggeration. Just try me someday. But the bottom line comes down to this. Before you go to bed at night, the thing you all have to do is you need to write down what you're going to do the next day. I mean, how many times have we all heard this before? Hello? McFly? Anybody home? The key is this. You write down what you're going to do. But the most important thing is don't write down so many things. Write down one or two or three things, whatever you got to do. But here's the key. You say what? You say, this is number one, this is number two, this is number three. So number one has to be completed. Now, that's great. Now, why do you do it the night before? It's very simple. Your subconscious mind works on it. There's no way around it, folks. It works. Your brain kind of starts organizing things, and you're already ahead of the pack. That's why you do it. You wake up in the morning. The most important thing to realize when you wake up each day is stop sleeping to the last minute. Get up early. Start your day on a better pace. Meaning, get up. Go out, have a little walk, do a little exercise, come sit down, always read in the morning. Take 15 minutes, 10 minutes, read something. Whatever key do you read? Then, of course, the best thing is you've got a spouse. Sit down and talk for a little bit. Then go take a shower, have your breakfast, and head on out. What do most people do? They hang in to 30 seconds. They're down to 30 seconds. If I hang in 30 more seconds, I can just cut down my shirt tie in time, and I can make it out the door. I can jump in that car. I've got my route figured out. I'll make it there, and I'll be there. Now, literally, unbelievable. I got to give them credit on how they do it. They got out of bed. They got dressed. They grabbed something. God knows what it is. They jumped in the car, and they made it to work, and they did it all in 20 minutes. How'd they do that? And then they wonder why they're not ready to go to work when they get there. What you got to do is this. Before you go to bed, write down what's important. When you get up in the morning, get up early. And you know what? Here's the key. When you wake up, get up. Never forget that. When you wake up, get up. Because if you don't get up when you wake up, guess what happens? You get more tired. And you all know I'm telling you the truth. So when you wake up, I'm going to say it again, get up. And you know what? Then what you do is you now have what is the most important issue, and that is you have direction. You know your number one item is A, right? So you go in the office, and what do? You sit down and you start working on A. Now, come on, folks. I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. We all know what. Things are going to constantly interrupt you. So what happens? 30 seconds, 15 seconds, 2 seconds into your day, the phone rings. Somebody says, hey, we got a problem. Okay, so you go take care of it. Well, I have taught you one thing, didn't I? Or I reminded you of something, and that was this. When something negative occurs, always handle it on its time. Because if you do it on its time, you control it. We've already talked about that. The most important issue is here. You go ahead and take care of it. This is where time is lost during the day. Because what does an average person do? Let me explain. They get up in the morning, so they rush to work. They get into work, they've got their list of items. There's 6 items they're going to cover this day. Does this sound familiar? You start on number one, you get interrupted. By the time you're done with the interruption, you should be on number two. So now you're on number two. Now you get interrupted again. But now by the time you're done with your second interruption, you're now on number three. Now you get interrupted again. But you're about the time that you should be on number four, but you haven't done one, two, or three, but you now move to number four. And you know what's interesting? About the time you're just getting in start on number four, you get interrupted again. But now you should be literally on number four, so you move to number four because that's what your clock tells you. That's what your calendar tells you. So now you haven't completed anything. You've started one, two, three, and four. But now, guess what? You are now on number five because you decided that last interruption moved you to number five. Now you're done. You had a great day. You had a lot of interruptions, and you've gone home. Guess what you did? Nothing. You started one, started two, started three, started four, started five. You never completed one thing. So you never completed anything. And guess what you do? Then you've got the nerve to look in the mirror and say, let's load up some more items. I've got six things that I haven't completed yet. Let's put another six on. Let's really create ourselves conflict in our life. So you start the process again. And then it gets to a point where the hole gets too deep. You can't see your way out. So then guess what? You can't get up in the morning. You can't get up in the morning. Why? Because you don't want to confront the fact that you've got too many things that are not completed and they're within a time frame you can't complete. You've already set yourself up for failure. What I'm asking to do is the greatest gift in the world that I have learned over the years that has taught me some of the greatest ways to enjoy my life and have more balance. Is that when you go to bed at night, you write down your things. You get up in the morning so that you're not rushing. You get to the office and you start on project number one. Guess what? That interruption is going to come. True? So it comes. Fine. You take care of it. That's okay because you need to. But guess what you do? Instead of coming back to two, what do? You go back to one. Now you get interrupted again. That's fine. Go take care of the interruption. Where do you go back to? Number one. You get interrupted again. That's fine. Where do you go back to? Number one. You get interrupted again. That's fine. Where do you go back to? Number one. You get interrupted again. That's fine. Where do you go back to? Number one. You keep going back to number one until number one is completed. Somebody says, Brian, that's not possible. Because by 12 o'clock, I should be at number three. Well, that was your mistake. You set yourself up for failure. What I'm asking you to do is understand something. If you complete one task in a day, you are miles ahead of a person that started six and didn't complete one. So if you complete a task, you're in control. If you've not completed the task, then it still has control of you. What I ask you to do again is realize how many tasks are on your paper. How many tasks are on your list? How many tasks are there out there that you are allowing to still control your thoughts, your focus, your action? You need to reorganize them. You need to put them in proper perspective. You need to give yourself enough time to start checking them off. There's nothing more exciting than what? You sit down at night and go, done it, done it, done it, done it, done it, done it. It makes you feel good. It gives you that energy to say, I'm moving ahead. You can visually see that things have been accomplished. What I'm asking you to do is realize, I know one of the most incredible things I love doing this for audiences. I've got this exercise that I have them do. And literally, because I can show that if you know where you are going to go next, you are in control. If you do not know where you're going to go next, you lose control. If you do not know where to go next, you're going to lose control. And by giving them that entity in their life, they literally realize that their efficiency is unbelievable. Because you are investing your greatest asset. What is your greatest asset? Is it money? Not. Is it materials? Not. Is it whatever? Not. It's only one thing. It's your time. It's the one thing I cannot get back to you. It's the one thing you're using right now. It's the one thing you're investing right now. It's the thing that you're depositing or withdrawing. It is your time. It's the one thing you cannot get any more of. Once you've used it, it's done. I only pray from the deepest part of my heart that because of our time together, you can add more time to your life from this point forward. You can have more time with the things that you love. You can have more time with the people that are most important to you, and that is your family. Folks, can I tell you something from my heart to your heart? When it comes time that you are wherever you are and you cannot do what you used to do, you cannot be what you used to be, you've had something in your life that has changed your whole arena. The only person, the only people that will truly be there is your family. Don't you ever forget that. And if you do not invest your time with your family, you have no family. Because family doesn't go just blood deep. It goes experiences. It goes memories. It goes love. It goes what is the most important, and that is this. You have been together longer than anybody else. You have argued together. You have cried together. You have succeeded together. You have grown together. And you are together because you are of the same bloodline. But blood doesn't do it only. You've got to create the memories. The memories is what brings the heart out. And the memories does not happen by accident. It is something that you organize your time so you go on dates with your daughter, that you go on dates with your son, that you make sure that you take your spouse out on a regular basis, and you make sure that you do specific things with your father, your mother, your brother, and sister. I will tell you something, and I hesitate not for a moment. Not having a relationship with your family is never an option. Don't make it one. Thank you for being a part of this program. And again, I'm going to leave you with the three most important words that exist in our vocabulary as far as I'm concerned. And that is this. Next time you have a brother walks up to you and says, "Hey, how's things going?" Just look at him or look at your sister straight in the eye and say, "You know, life is good." You know why? Because you'll remind them of one thing, that you have a brother and sister, that you have family, and as long as you remind yourself of those key elements and remember those key elements from the deepest part of your heart, you'll understand one thing, and that is life is good. This gives me an opportunity to share a story with each and every one of you that's very dear to my heart. Why? Because of the point that it makes in the story. It's about two caterpillars. They're born. They're born to do one thing, if you've ever seen them, watched them, studied them. They're born to eat. They eat, and they eat, and they eat, and they eat. And over the days, over the weeks, over the time period, they become like best buds. I mean, they're like the buddies. They play together, they eat together. They probably do more eating together than playing together. One day, one of them also noticed something. He just kind of caught a sparkle. It had a color to it that went across the skies. He didn't know what it was. He didn't understand it, but it did catch his attention. He didn't really think twice about it, but the next day, it's the most amazing thing. He's eating, and all of a sudden, it wasn't a sparkle. The whole ground had taken a different form of a color. It was all different colors. And he looks down at the ground, and he says, "Whoa, look at these weeds. They're turning different colors on me." And he realizes, no, it's not on the ground, it's in the air. And he starts to look up, and I'll be darned, there's nothing there. So he starts to wonder, and he says, "Man, something just happened. I don't know what it is." The next day goes by. And now he's becoming a little more aware. So he kind of keeps looking up every so often. And all of a sudden he sees this beautiful colored object just float across the sky. He looks over at his buddy. He says, hey, do you see that? He says, "See what?" He said, "Man, it was beautiful. It had all different colors. It was flying across the sky. You missed it." He goes, "Oh, I didn't see it." He said, "But I saw it." He goes, "Okay, let's go back to eat." Okay, so I go back to eat. Next day goes by. All of a sudden, in the middle of the day, guess what arrives? Beautiful butterfly. He looks up and he says, "Man," in his heart, he can just feel some major pull. And he says, "Man, wouldn't it be cool?" And he says to his buddy, hey, you see it? He looks up and says, "Yeah, I see it." He says, "So what?" He said, "Wouldn't it be cool if we could do that? If we could be that beautiful?" And his buddy looks at him and says, "Excuse me? You're fat. You're ugly. You need to eat. Let's get back to the ground. You know what I mean? Keep you grounded." "Oh, ah, I guess you're right. What would I do without a good friend like you?" So they went back to eating. Next day comes and guess what arrives again? That beautiful butterfly. His buddy looks out and says, "Hey, you know what? He turns to his friend and says, hey, you see that again? There's two of them. And he says, really? He says, yeah, there's two of them. He says, you know what? I got this feeling we could do that. His buddy looks at him and says, I'm only going to tell you this once. Honestly, you got into a bad weed patch because you are not in reality. You need to get back to Eden. You're fat. You're ugly. You're my buddy. I'll take care of you. Thanks for getting me grounded again. So guess what? He goes back to eating and life goes on as it is. The next day comes again. And here's what happens. His buddy sees that beautiful butterfly again. He looks up and he sees it and he says, you know, I feel called. My heart says something is there. And I believe that something can happen if I make good choices. So he turns to his buddy to ask for support, guidance, direction. But today, the greatest thing happens of all. His buddy's sleeping. He looks over and he sees him. And he says, wait a minute. If I wake him up, I know what he's going to say. If I let him sleep, then guess what? I get to make my own choices. So guess what happens? He leaves his buddy there to sleep, and he decides to follow his heart. And you know what he does? He crawls along the ground as fast as that little body can move. And he doesn't think about food. He doesn't think about anything. He only thinks about one thing, this tree he sees in front of him. He hits that tree. He climbs up that tree. He climbs onto the limb. He throws himself off the limb. He risks everything he has. He spins. He creates a cocoon. Over a period of time, out comes the wing. Hits the sun. The sun hits the wing. The colors become so vivid. The blood becomes so part of it. The life becomes so bright. And guess what? He breaks out, and he is the most beautiful butterfly you've ever seen in your whole life. One of a kind, unique to the world in itself. And you know what's amazing? What happens? He floats to the ground. And as he hits the ground, guess who he lands right next to? His buddy. His buddy looks at him and says, hey, is that really you? I recognize them eyes. He says, yeah. Here's the point of the story. His buddy could say, I climbed this tree, became beautiful to prove you wrong. To prove you wrong. I was right, you were wrong. I did this for one reason, to show you that I'm better than you are. I did this for one reason, because I'm mad at you, and now I'm a winner, you're a loser. I did this because, you know what? I want to let you know, I want to let the world know that I am where I am, and you are where you are, and that's all there is to life. Unfortunately, we got too many of those people in our society today. What I pray from the deepest part of my heart, in one way or another, that I can say the right thing in the right way to help us all realize, you will never achieve greatness in your life if you do it because of anger, if you do it because of hatred, if you do it because of envy, and if you do it because you want another person to go down instead of up. What I'm asking you to do is do it for the right reasons. He looks at his buddy. I did it for one reason. I did it so that you could see that it's possible, that you could see that it is realistic, so that you can see that if you make the choice to go that direction, this is what your outcome will be. But I also did it not to demand for you to climb the tree. I didn't do it for me to expect that because I became a butterfly, you must. A friend's friend, a heart to a heart, a true relationship comes down to one very important entity. You accept the person how they are. If they choose to go down that route, then now you have given them a path for success. If they choose not to, then don't be disappointed. What I'm asking you to realize is what you have done is help that person, that situation, become more what? Clearly define who they are and love them for what they've chosen to be. Too often we go out and do something with expectations that the next person will do the same thing. And when we do not see that they are not willing to do the same thing, we are disappointed. Why? Why? Why don't you just say, that's what makes us all different? What I want to be might be different than what you want to be. But if you look for the good, you'll notice that that person has a ton of great things. As they looked at each other, the story goes like this. The caterpillar on the ground, and now the butterfly. The great news is, guess what? They are still the best of friends. But you know what? They both choose to stay where they are. Now you have a beautiful butterfly that always circles this one very happy eating machine caterpillar. And you know what? They look up at each other and they realize, I stay close to the ground so that I can see something in a way that you can't. You fly up there with the wind so that you can see things that I can't. But let's get together so often so we can share our different views so that we can grow, because we stayed who we are. We didn't change to become something that we're not. Ask yourself this in your own heart. Do you truly do that for people around you? Or is your expectation the factor that you determine your happiness and your success instead of allowing them to be who they are? I truly hope from the deepest, deepest part of my heart that in some way, in some word, in some statement, in some story, in any possible manner I could, that I have shared something with you that you now share with another person, and this world will continue to grow in the right way. During this program, if you had a name come to mind, a person that you've thought of, then please give them the information, share the information with them. Make it come from you, because it was your feeling in your heart. You cannot delegate that. You must deliver the message. You're the one that's going to help them become who they are and be proud of the choices that they make. And again, the last time, I'm going to end with the three most important words. I mean them from my heart to your heart. And that is, life is good. That is, life is good.
My name is Frank Messini, and I've been in the Speaker Bureau's business well over a decade, scheduling speakers all over America. A little over 3 years ago, I started scheduling appearances for Brian Dodge on a part-time basis. It did not take long, and I found myself booking exclusively for Mr. Dodge. Why? Because he is so exceptionally gifted. His audiences love him, and his message is needed. Brian's outstanding ability to motivate his audience to develop their own talents and abilities is making him one of America's most sought-after keynote speakers. His vibrant and spirited delivery style has made him an in-demand seminar and conference speaker on a variety of self-improvement topics. My duties also include screening Brian's mail and handling his communications on a daily basis. Every day, we get correspondences either by phone, email, or mail of testimonies of how Brian and his message has impacted someone's life because they simply heard him speak for 30 minutes or an hour at a dinner meeting or a luncheon meeting or a business meeting of some sort. What a great advantage you have with these tape recordings, simply because you have the ability to stop the recording, reflect on what he says, back it up and listen to it again and again until you internalize the message. My own testimony is this. I personally am an uneducated person. I do not have a college education. When I was 38, I, my wife, and four children were served an eviction notice giving us 10 days to vacate our simple three-bedroom home, which we fell 2 months behind in our payments, literally forcing us into Chapter 13 to keep us from getting evicted. I don't drink, smoke, gamble, party, or have any extravagant hobbies or fancy cars, and I've been gainfully employed all my life. At that time in my life, I was working as many overtime hours as I could, but $12 an hour simply was not enough to support my family. At that point in my life, I started to listen to self-help and self-motivational tapes such as these. It totally turned my life around. From listening to tapes, I started to understand success principles and leadership principles and began to apply them. Now, just 12 years later, my family and I have truly obtained a level of financial dignity that we are proud of, and I attribute it all to the knowledge and skills I have learned from listening to tape cassettes. I won't buy a car, a home entertainment system, or a jambox unless it's got a cassette player built into it. My personal congratulations is to you for investing in these tapes. After listening to Brian just once, you too will be optimistic about enhancing your own human potential and personal greatness. I will be watching Brian's mail to read your testimonies as well. I know that somewhere in these messages, there is a principle or an idea that will impact your life as well. All high achievers know that education never ends. Always keep building a better you.